Peggy Grand started working in the office of Ronald Reagan while still a college student and quickly earned her way into a coveted role as the president's executive assistant. She was his longtime assistant who worked closely with him for 10 years after he left the White House from 1989 to 1999. She has written a new book about her experiences. It is entitled The President Will See You Now, My Stories and Lessons from Ronald Reagan's Final Years. The book is published by Hachette, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Peggy Grand to the roundtable this morning. Peggy, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Give us a sense of how you came to write this story and figured out that now was the time to tell the story.
Well, with Mrs. Reagan's passing, certainly they become historical figures, and these people that were so beloved and looked to and admired by so many people for so many years now become part of history. And I think it's important for the people who knew them from a very public perspective to have a behind-the-scenes look at them, and also for the next generation to really know, so what was the big deal about Reagan? Why did everybody look to him and talk to him and revere him so much? And so this is really a personal sketch behind the scenes of who he was when the cameras weren't rolling and nobody was looking. It gives a great picture of the complete man and the character of him.
Give us a sense of what your job was coming in after his presidency.
So I had the great privilege and honor of being his executive assistant, which means I sat right outside his door. I worked for him in Los Angeles for 10 years after he left the White House and returned to L.A. And so as his executive assistant, you see all the comings and goings and orchestrate the day. And it was a terrific opportunity to watch this man interact with the world, whether it was world leaders that came from all over the globe to visit with him and continue their relationships with him, or just everyday patriotic Americans who loved him and had written in for the opportunity to meet him. You know, some great moments with everything from an autistic little boy who had studied everything about Ronald Reagan and got a chance to interact with his hero, to a Romanian woman that fell to his feet when she saw him, so grateful for his efforts in freeing her country.
Obviously, you are, as the subtitle indicates, you are there during his final years, and there he was in ill health for a great deal of that time. Talk a little bit about how you worked through that of really telling the world of his Alzheimer's diagnosis and working with that, in addition to the day-to-day functions of dealing with a former president of the United States.
Yeah. Well, I think most people would be surprised to know that he lived actually for 15 years after he left the White House. And so those first 5 years, I would say, post-presidency were very active. He did a lot of travel. He gave a lot of speeches. He received a lot of visitors. And about 5 years into his post-presidency, he did write that beautiful and heartfelt letter to the American people that started with "My Fellow Americans." And I was part of the team that released this heartbreaking letter to the world and watched the deluge of response come back to him in the form of just wonderful, beautiful, heartfelt sentiments. The interesting part about that is for the next 5 years, he continued to come into the office and keep a fairly regular schedule. And so once he made the announcement, the world kind of started saying goodbye to him in a lot of ways. And yet I was still saying good morning to him every day for the next 5 years. And so it was a really interesting time. This was a man of extreme faith. He had just a gentle graciousness about him, and that continued all the way to the very end. And so to see this man in a time of challenge and in a time of difficulty and to watch him continue to persevere with strength and faith and optimism was really remarkable.
And you obviously, I think that is walking a tightrope in a sense of being true to him and to his illness, but also to his role and what he wants to do as a former president.
Yeah, it was important to him, especially those early years, to still speak out about the things that were important to him when he was president. And maybe he felt there was a few things that were a little unfinished business that he wanted to use his platform to do. Likewise, I appreciated the fact that when he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it would have been very easy for him and Mrs. Reagan to retreat to the ranch and hide away and maybe not even have anybody know, have the rumors swirl, but nobody know for sure. But the heart of these public servants were willing to put themselves out there, take something that was very private and make it public. And in doing so, they've helped so many people, and they've brought awareness to the disease of Alzheimer's. They've taken away so much of the shame and stigma that people and families had that were dealing with it before. And we really only have the luxury of knowing about Alzheimer's and knowing the symptoms and how we can help care for people with Alzheimer's because these people were willing to do that with something that was very difficult.
You make this point in the book, but of course you are executive assistant to former President Ronald Reagan, but in many ways you are also working extremely closely with his wife and the First Lady, Nancy Reagan.
Of course, of course. Well, you never thought of him without her or her
right.
without him. They truly were a partnership, and their love story was something that was so wonderful to observe. I mean, to see the two of them together just warms your heart. These were very elderly people who clearly loved being together and just couldn't stand being apart. And Mrs. Reagan and I had a very close relationship. I had so much admiration for her strength, for her poise, especially in the later years, you know, when the president was less able to speak out for himself. She took a very visible stage presence, which was a place she wasn't necessarily comfortable in always doing. She was comfortable being behind her husband, behind the scenes, supporting him. And she was willing to step out and be a great representative of him and continue to perpetuate his legacy. And I admired her for that because I don't think that was something that she would have chosen for herself, but she did it for him.
The decision to ultimately leave after 10 years, what went into that decision?
Well, by the time I had worked for him for 10 years, I had gotten married. I had 3 of my 4 children. We had moved quite a distance from the office. And at that point, Ronald Reagan was no longer really coming into the office. And so I had decided that, you know, my job was him. I wasn't there to work in a government office, but he was the very heart and soul of the office. And so if he wouldn't be coming to the office anymore, that it was probably a good time for me to have a little more time with my family and raise some little children. And I knew, fortunately, that I would still be able to be connected to him. And I was able to go up and visit him regularly up at his home up until not long before he died. And, you know, I do write about that in the book. It was very difficult. I really felt as if in me showing my goodbye to him, that everybody, the reader, could remember their goodbye to him. Because at some point, everybody who admired him and appreciated him had to let him go in our lives, not in our hearts, not in his legacy, but we had to let him go. And so I shared that very personal moment because I think it will evoke memories of the readers also saying their goodbyes to him.
Tell us about Duchess.
Mrs. Reagan's dog, Duchess, was given to her right after the president passed away. Her dear friend, Merv Griffin, loved Shar Pei dogs and always had several of them and gave her this little tiny Shar Pei puppy, Duchess, that was adorable to keep her company when the president was gone. Well, little tiny Shar Pei puppies grow into big, large, muscly Shar Pei dogs. And it wasn't necessarily the best combination for her beautiful, you know, museum quality home and for an elderly lady. So she called one day and she said, I know that you and the children love Duchess. We really want to keep her in the family, but I just can't keep her here anymore. Would you take her? So Duchess came to live with us, and we kept Duchess for about 10 years. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, but she did pass away just recently. But the neat part about that is we were able to take her up to the ranch, up to the Reagan Ranch, and bury her alongside all the other presidential pets that are up there. And Ronald Reagan himself used to personally carve into stone the names for the headstones on these rocks that were up at the ranch. And so up there are rocks that he's carved on for dogs and for horses and for a 2-ton steer that was up there. And so it was really special, even though it was hard, to take that just and bury her alongside all the pets that the president and Mrs. Reagan had loved.
And the dog passed just shortly after Mrs. Reagan did, right?
Yeah, within a few months. Mm-hmm.
So
that was in the way the end of an era entirely.
Yeah.
We had said goodbye to the president. We had said goodbye to Mrs. Reagan, and Duchess was, we felt like our one last little piece of connection, living connection to her. So, yeah, it was very difficult and sad time, but kind of bookended their beautiful lives.
As a mom, you tell this great story in the book of just how nerve-wracking it was to take the kids to visit Mrs. Reagan at the ranch. I can just imagine you going into this museum of a house with all your kids.
I do. I have four children. They're quite large now, but at the time they were, you know, little toddlers, and the Reagans were very gracious, were so good to my family, and would invite us to come up and visit, swim in the pool with the president and play in the backyard and go into the house. And we would visit on birthdays and Christmas and bring little goodies. And the Reagans loved it. And while I also loved it, it was terrifying because their home is beautiful and full of all these priceless treasures. And I write in the book, though, about one very proud mommy moment. My son, who was probably about four at the time, so about nose high to this little table. This table was full of all these different elephants. Some were jade and crystal and gold and silver and all these little priceless elephants that were trunk to tail in a little circle all around. And Mrs. Reagan saw Taylor watching them, and I was nervously waiting to, you know, pounce his hand if he reached out, but he was just looking, and Mrs. Reagan was watching him too, but not to scold him, but said, "Taylor, why do you think Mrs. Reagan has so many elephants in her home?" Well, I'm nervous, not thinking there's any way my son is going to pull this out, but without skipping a beat, he looks up at her and says, "Well, because the elephants are the symbol of the Republican Party, and you and the president are Republicans."
There you go.
I was very proud, 4 years old, impressive. I didn't know he knew that, but I bought him ice cream on the way home.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
A little treat.
Well, the book is delightful. It's entitled The President Will See You Now, A Memoir, My Stories and Lessons from Ronald Reagan's Final Years. It is published by Hachette. Peggy Graham, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. Very nice to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm glad you enjoyed the book, and I hope your listeners will as well.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is The President Will See You Now, A Memoir by Peggy Graham. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.